This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The extent of the catastrophe last week in Asia and Africa is difficult to comprehend. At least 150,000 people killed, according to the United Nations, even more displaced. And those numbers do not take long-term damage into account, the lasting effects of the earthquake and tsunami on societies around the Indian Ocean. NPR's Philip Reeves has been to one village in Sri Lanka where he will explore the effect in detail. He'll be revisiting it in the future to see if and how the village eventually rebuilds itself. Today, he sent this report.
You won't find it on a tourist map. You'll probably never hear it mentioned on the news. But a third of the way up Sri Lanka's east coast, set in a palm grove between a lagoon and the Indian Ocean, there's a village called Ontachimadam. A week ago, the sea came through here like a steamroller. Today, the heavens followed up. Ontachimadam used to be a fairly typical village in these parts. There were a few hundred basic but picturesque red-tiled homes. There's a handful of small stores, a bus stand, and a tiny post office. It had five temples and five automobiles, one paved road, and a multitude of goats, chickens, bicycles, and coconuts. Not anymore.
Everything is demolished here, my school.
Makandu Paranthan was today wandering the wasteland that was once the village school where he was headmaster. He cut a tiny figure against the utterly devastated landscape that surrounded him for miles in either direction.
My library and science lab, my documents, everything is fully damaged.
The people who live in the village are mostly Tamil Hindus. Before the catastrophe, many of their menfolk earned a living as goldsmiths, pounding out jewellery for richer Sri Lankans in nearby towns. Others lived by fishing the surrounding waters for shark and prawns and crab. That's finished too. Their fishing boats have been demolished. Anyway, no one around here wants to eat fresh fish anymore.
These people are getting afraid to buy fish because this fish also poisoned or like that. They feel that.
Shiva Subramaniam is a local English teacher.
Many dead bodies were in this river and this stream, so the fish might have eaten these dead bodies, so they get afraid to eat this fish.
Go to Ontachimadam today, and people will show you the brown stain on the walls of their homes left by the tsunami waters. At least they would if they could reach high enough. Even in the middle of the village, it reached the eaves, and on the beach it went to the top of the palm trees. They'll also show you where the sea swallowed up the village's old people's home, along with its 24 disabled and blind residents. They'll show you the torrent of water that now stands in the place of the main road, a causeway that used to connect the village with another village to the south. To cross, you now have to be ferried by rowboat. And they might introduce you to Rajendram. Rajendram looks almost as wrecked as his village. He's a goldsmith, though today he just hangs around the bus shelter, hoping the rain will wash away his memories of his wife being washed away from him in the tsunami.
Each time I close my eyes, I relive the horror of the tsunami. What makes it worse was if I didn't actually see her being swept away, and I'm the one, she was in my arms when we ran together. If I didn't see her, it would have been easier for me. But now it's very, very difficult, and I get hardly any sleep at night.
Stories like these are easy to find in Sri Lanka. There have been many accounts of how some 30,000 lives were lost here. Less attention's paid to the knock-on effects, the profound and lasting structural damage to society. Ontachimadam village faces many practical problems. The water wells are poisoned by seawater, so the villagers must now go 3 miles to get water. There's little livestock as the goats and chickens mostly drowned. The village now has some 800 refugees. They're living in a concrete storage shed, sitting on mats surrounded by the few belongings they managed to salvage. They've nowhere to go. Udaya Kumara, a government official, was supervising them today.
This camp will have to operate indefinitely, because these people, unless homes are built for them, they have no choice but to live here. They may have to stay here a long while.
There are deeper wounds like Rajendram's, which are harder to fix. Shyamalan Shakmati Langaman has 6 kids. Today the family were to be found sheltering from the latest rainstorm.
The children certainly are affected. Even when us adults discuss the situation, they plead with us to not remind them about it. And in the nights, we sometimes have my children hugging me in fear.
But the adults can't not talk about it. The lives of 70 people were lost in this close-knit community of a few thousand. One of them, a child, was washed ashore today. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Batticaloa.